Welcome again to Victory in the Word. I'm Dwayne Norman, and I am so glad you've joined me. You know, in teaching on the mystery like I'm doing, I want to share some things with you from the Word about understanding suffering. I've taught on this before. I've shared some things on it before, but I want to go a little deeper. I want to bring out some more points that I think will be very helpful, because one thing I've noticed is, you know, in the world that we live in, there are lots of questions people ask about the Lord, and of course, people that don't know the Lord, that aren't born again, a lot of their questions will be like, does God really exist? And, you know, is the Bible true? Is God real? And but another question that's asked all the time is always, there's usually a question about suffering. Because they want to say things like, well, you know, if God is really, you know, like you Christians say, God is all good and all powerful and he loves us so much, why does he allow all these bad things to happen? In other words, they believe that all the bad, evil things happening in the world are coming from God, that God has something to do with it, and he doesn't have anything to do with it. And I think a lot of Christians do not understand about suffering, that what kind of suffering that Christians can expect to suffer, but what they should not expect to suffer. Now, over in Philippians chapter 4, or really chapter 3, let me read to you a verse, something the Apostle Paul said over here. He said in, I think what I'll do is start with verse 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. In other words, Paul said, the most important thing in my life is knowing the Lord Jesus and having a relationship with him, walking in fellowship with him every day. Then in verse 9 he said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now listen to verse 10. This is where I want to get to here in verse 10 in Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. See, three things Paul named there that he wanted to know. He said, that I may be found in him. In other words, hold it, that he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. See, those three things. Paul said, I want to know the Lord Jesus. Now, when he said, I want to know the Lord, he wasn't saying I want to know him, that is, that, you know, by getting saved. No, Paul was already saved. And remember, Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Philippi, as well as to all the body of Christ. It's one of the epistles. Remember, all the epistles are the letters written to the church. So Paul is talking to Christians here. Paul's a Christian himself, and he says, I want to know the Lord. So he wasn't saying, I want to know him by being born again. He was already born again. What he's saying was that as a Christian, and he's telling all of us as believers, as born again Christians, that we need to have a desire to know the Lord much, much more than we do. See, we already know him through the new birth. We already know him as our Lord and Savior now, but now we need to know him as our healer, our deliverer, our provider. We need to know him as our redeemer and what all that means. We need to know him as our strength, our joy, our peace. See, there's lots of other things about the Lord we need to know and understand. So that's what Paul is talking about when he said, I want that I may know him. But he said three things here, didn't he? He said that I may know him, number one. Number two, that I may know the power of his resurrection. And number three, that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. That I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, what did Paul mean by that? That I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. Now I want to go over to Colossians chapter 1 to look at something else the Apostle Paul said about this suffering. Remember, he said, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. So what kind of sufferings is he talking about here? Well, over in Colossians chapter 1, let me start with verse 24. Paul said this, and now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery. See, there's, we're talking about the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Paul was saying, this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. And I want you to know about all the sufferings I've been through to get this message to you. He said in verse 24 again, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. See, the word afflict means to attack. See, when you see the word afflictions, don't just think sicknesses and diseases. No. Any type of attack from the devil would come under the category of being afflicted or an affliction. The devil can try to afflict you with poverty and lack, with fear and doubt and unbelief, as well as sickness and disease. But Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, here's what we need to understand. This is where so many Christians get confused. They just take any type of sufferings and they put them all in one bag and just mix it all up. And just say, there you go. See, we're going to have to suffer. So they take sickness and disease and poverty and lack and fear and doubt and unbelief, and they mix that in with suffering persecution. See, they just mix any type of suffering all in one bag and say, well, as Christians, that's what Paul's talking about. We're gonna suffer all kinds of sickness and disease and all this for the Lord. But see, what you have to do, you have to take the word of God and rightly divide that. See, there's sufferings that we don't have to suffer as Christians, and there's sufferings that the Bible says that we will suffer as Christians. Let me tell you the sufferings that God tells us that we will suffer. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me read this to you. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul said this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. See, they'll suffer persecution. So see, when Jesus went to the cross for you and me and shed his blood and died and arose from the dead, he did not redeem us or free us from suffering persecution. See, he was persecuted greatly throughout his earthly life, throughout his earthly ministry. But when he went to the cross, see, and died for us, when he bore the entire curse of the law for us and all evil for us, he didn't bear persecution and redeem us from suffering persecution, because the Bible says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, let me read you a little bit more of that here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me start with verse 10. Paul said this. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Then in verse 12 he says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So see, when Paul talks about suffering persecutions and afflictions, remember, afflictions just means any way that he was attacked by the devil. Any way the devil tried to attack him and stop him from preaching the gospel. Now, yes, sickness and disease would be an attack from the devil. You could call that's definitely an affliction. That would be in the category of an affliction. But any kind of attack would be in the category of affliction, because to afflict, it really means to attack with something. But listen, let me give you Paul's testimony here. See, if Paul suffered sickness and disease, if Paul was saying we're supposed to suffer sickness and disease, then he ought to at least have a few of those listed. Remember over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Listen to this. Over 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives us details about the things that he suffered in his earthly ministry. And you know what? When you read all the details, he describes all kinds of sufferings or afflictions. You could call them afflictions. He describes all type of sufferings, afflictions, all types of attacks from our enemy, the devil. But you know what? Not once does he say does he describe a sickness or disease. Now, of course, somebody says, yeah, but remember Paul, that thorn Paul dealt with, remember that was a disease? No, the Bible didn't say that was a disease. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul himself describes that thorn. Let me read that to you first. In verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. And here's what Paul tells you, but he tells you what the thorn was. He says it was a messenger. The Greek word for messenger there, in which this was written, is a word we get our word angel from. Not sickness or disease. Paul said that thorn was a messenger of Satan, not a messenger of God. So it did not come from God. He said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The word buffet means to beat over and over and over, to hit, lest I be exalted above measure. So Paul describes that thorn in the flesh. He specifically says by the Spirit of God, that thorn was a messenger or an angel or a demon spirit's what it was. The messenger is not describing a sickness or disease of any kind. It's describing some type of spirit being, an angel, a demon spirit. Paul says that thorn that he dealt with was a messenger or a demonic angel, a demon spirit of the devil, of Satan, that was sent to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. Then in verse 10, listen to what he said. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, Paul learned that no matter how the devil attacked him, that if he would trust God and rely on the grace of God, God's power would be manifested in his life to give him victory over every way the devil attacked him. See, Paul wasn't teaching that, you know, if you trust God and have faith in God, God will help you stay strong and while you put up with all the devil's attacks. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God will give us victory over however the devil attacks us. And the Bible teaches that when you're persecuted for righteousness, when people talk against you, try to say things and do things to stop you from preaching the gospel, yeah, God will give us strength to walk in love towards those people and to forgive them. Because see, our fight is a spiritual fight. Now we've already won the battle through Jesus' death and resurrection. But see, the Bible says we fight the good fight of faith. But see, we're not fighting people. We need to remember that as Christians, we're not fighting people. Our fight is spiritual warfare. We're here to be used by God in operating in faith and in the power of God to demonstrate the devil's defeat. We're here to establish God's kingdom in the hearts and lives of people and to demonstrate the devil's defeat, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy the devil's works. We're to love people. See, we're to walk in love and forgiveness towards people all the time. So Paul described that thorn in the flesh as a messenger of Satan, a demonic angel, a demon spirit that Satan sent out to attack Paul. See, that would be considered an affliction, wouldn't it? It was an attack from our enemy, the devil. But what I want you to see now as I read this in chapter 11 in the previous chapter in 2 Corinthians, Paul gives a detailed list of ways the devil attacked him, of bad things that he suffered, that he went through. And you know what? In the whole list, not one time does he name any kind of sickness or disease. Not one time. Not one time. Because see, Paul knew we're redeemed from sickness and disease. Let me just insert this before I read these verses. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ hath redeemed us, has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, anything you and I are redeemed from, we don't have to suffer. Now, remember, the curse of the law is sickness and disease, sin, spiritual death, poverty and lack and fear, lust. See, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We don't have to suffer anything Jesus redeemed from us because, see, if we're putting up with stuff that Jesus redeemed from us, thinking that we're doing that for the glory of God, then you're spiritually slapping Jesus in the face. See, if I went to jail for 10 years for you for a crime that you committed that I did not commit, then after I get out of jail, you decide to go ahead and go to jail for 10 years yourself, then you would be slapping me in the face, so to speak, wouldn't you? You would say that I wasted my time going to jail for you. See, that would be really dumb for you to go suffer 10 years in jail after I already suffered it for you, after I already paid your penalty for sin. So see, we don't have to pay our penalty for sin. Jesus paid that. We don't have to suffer sickness or disease, poverty or lack or fear. Jesus redeemed us from those things. So that's not part of the sufferings that we're to suffer. So see, there are certain things we suffer as Christians and certain things we don't have to suffer. We never have to suffer sickness, disease, poverty, lack, or anything in the curse of the law. We never have to suffer anything in the law of sin and death. We're redeemed. We're free from those things. So you need to put forth your, release your faith and put forth every effort to resist those things out of your life. Curse those things. Command those things to die and disappear out of your life. Command those things to leave you right now in Jesus' name. And say it like you mean it. And they have to go. You have all authority and power and dominion over them in the name of Jesus. But now, remember, Paul did say as Christians, those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Yeah, Jesus did not redeem us from people talking against us and criticizing us and trying to come against us, trying to hinder us from preaching the gospel. No, he didn't redeem us from that, did he? See, we're supposed to forgive people, walk in love towards people, and keep doing what God's called us to do, and don't let persecution stop us from fulfilling God's will in our life. But now listen to this list of things that Paul suffered. And I want you to notice as I read these, not one time does he say anything about sickness or disease. Starting with verse 22 in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. So Paul was saying five times he was striped 39 times with those cat o' nine tails. He said three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Now, while I'm reading these, listen for him to talk about when he was sick or had a disease, because you won't hear that at all. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the cities. Wow. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Then he says in verse 27, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Then he says, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. The devil is always trying to get him stressed out, trying to attack him, of course, with worry about the churches. He goes on to say, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. Infirmities means weaknesses and diseases. Not just sickness and disease, but weaknesses and diseases. Because he just said, hey, I've experienced being weak. I've experienced stumbling. I've experienced being weary and suffering and toiling and suffering hunger and thirst. Yeah, Paul said, I've dealt with all these things. But he never says, you know, I had cancer or I had leukemia or I had AIDS or I had this disease or that sickness. No. Now let me insert this. I'm sure the devil tried to attack Paul with sickness and disease just like he tries to attack you and me. But Paul knew he was redeemed from that. Paul knew the scriptures that say, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I'm free from that. He goes on to say in verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. He said in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with the garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Wow, he escaped from his hands. So, you know, when you read about all that Paul suffered, he doesn't say anything about a specific disease or sickness that he suffered. No, because he knew we're redeemed from sickness and disease. We don't have to put up with that junk. So we need to realize that. But you know, a lot of the teaching that I hear that I've been listening to from other ministers preaching to, especially crowds of Christians, but crowds of non-believers as well in the crowds. And when these ministers talk about suffering, they just kind of put all suffering, no matter what kind it is, like I said, in one big bag. And many times just imply that as Christians, you know, that, you know, we're going to have to suffer these things. So just kind of bear up under it and just trust God to get you through it. And what I don't like hearing is they'll share testimonies. I've heard many of them from men of God, men and women of God, you know, trying to witness to people, of course, and share the gospel. But they'll share testimonies of people. They'll say, so-and-so, I met this particular person. You know, he was a godly Christian man or godly Christian woman, and he had cancer. And the doctor said, you know, you have 6 months to live. But these ministers that I've heard, many of them haven't said, you know, so I went over to that person that had the cancer and I shared the word with them that by Jesus' stripes they're healed and that they don't have to die of cancer, that God has healed them and they can receive their healing. And I laid hands on them and I cursed that cancer. I cursed that disease in Jesus' name and it died, and they didn't die in 6 months. And they're still alive today, and that's been, you know, 15 years ago when I ministered to them. You know, I don't hear as much of that. You know, we need to hear more of that. I've heard a lot of ministers say, well, you know, they went into that person that had the cancer and the doctor said they're going to die in 6 months. And of course, they shared the love of God with them, which is good. And they just encouraged them. You know, you just keep trusting God and you'll be in heaven soon. Well, see, that's not the correct way to minister to people that have sickness and disease. Yeah, we want them to know how much God loves them, and that, of course, when all of us die, if Jesus tarries in the rapture for the church for us, yeah, we'll be with God. And that's wonderful. But you need to do everything you can now to fight and to resist everything Jesus redeemed us from. Everything Jesus suffered for us on the cross and redeemed us from, we don't have to put up with that in our lives. And you need to resist that. And I don't like hearing these ministers when they share these testimonies about, like I said, going in and talking to somebody like that and they end up dying in 6 months, and they'll say, well, you know, we don't know why, you know, God allowed that to happen, or, you know, we don't know what God's plan was. See, they try to make it sound like God has some divine plan that nobody understands, that God has a reason for them having that cancer and dying in 6 months. No, that cancer did not come from God. Just like the thorn that Paul dealt with did not come from God. It was a messenger of Satan. It was demonic. It did not come from God. See, those people, you know, that person say that died in 6 months of that cancer was from hell. It was not from God. God does not put cancer on people. God did not have some divine higher reason that nobody understands for that person to die. Praise God that if even though the person didn't know they could be healed, they died in faith and they're in heaven now. That's wonderful that they stayed in faith, that they walked in love towards people while they were dealing with that cancer. And praise God that they made it to heaven. Yeah, I'm so glad for that. No, that's wonderful. That's a good testimony that they stayed true to God despite what they were dealing with. But a better testimony would have been for somebody to share the word with them and to tell them that you don't have to die. God's not putting that cancer on you. God doesn't have some special reason for you having that cancer. No. God wanted them to be healed and to live a long, healthy life. And see, now that would have been a greater glory to God, that they got healed and then they could share their testimony with thousands and millions of people of how God healed them of cancer, and which would encourage other people to receive their healing, which would glorify God over and over and over and over again. But see, the reason so many of these ministers teach things like this is teach people that, you know, that we don't know why you're sick or why God did that to you, or, you know, even if God didn't do it to you, obviously he has a reason for you going through that. See, when ministers teach unbelief like that, that's what it is unbelief. Unbelief means it's contrary to what the Word teaches. The Word teaches that by Jesus' stripes, we have already been healed. That's what it teaches, and that's true. The Word teaches that all good and perfect gifts come from God. And see, cancer is not a good gift. Somebody said, well, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. No, it's not a blessing in disguise. Not a blessing in disguise. Over in Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That verse, if you read that verse, read it over and over and meditate on that. It says Jesus went about doing good and healing all. First of all, Jesus, it says he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. So that tells me right there that healing is God's will for all people. See, if it wasn't, how could Jesus have gone about healing all? See, let's just use a little original thinking here. As Christians, let's use our brains more. Let's think about things. Don't just swallow what everybody tells you just because they say it, or just because they have 17 doctor's degrees, or because they're on television all over the world. See, don't swallow that. You may not be as intellectual or smart as they are, but you can read the Bible. See, check everything out with the Word of God. The Bible, Acts 10:38, for Jesus to heal all who were oppressed by the devil means that healing had to be God's will for all people, or he couldn't have healed all. But the other thing is, it says that Jesus went about doing good and he healed all. So healing people of sickness and diseases was good. It didn't say, there's not one verse that said Jesus ever put sickness and disease on anyone. No, he healed them of sickness and disease. See, that's what's good. Dying of sickness and disease is not good. Yes, it's good that you're born again, you're going to make it to heaven. But then the Bible says that Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil. So that tells me that all sickness and disease, listen, is satanic oppression. So think about that. All sickness and disease is satanic oppression. It's not of God. So resist it. Curse it. Command it to die and to get out of your body right now. I just call you healed and whole in your body now in the name of Jesus.